The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujack, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
Hormones play an incredibly important role in the function of our bodies, and research shows that some hormones, estrogens, may have a powerful impact on a person's memory. On this edition of UWM Today, we meet Karen Frick, a professor in the Department of Psychology at UWM, who's begun to unravel the story of exactly how estrogens and memory may be so closely linked. Welcome, Karen. Good to have you with us today.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Fascinating talking about hormones, because I think as we go through our first biology classes in junior high or high school, we know that they are important to us. But after we get away from those science classes, I think we forget just how critical they are to the way in which we live.
Yeah. I think people focus on them very much during puberty, right? We're all very much aware of how during puberty, hormone levels rise, and there are all sorts of changes that happen in our bodies during puberty. And then, you know, we tend to forget about them in terms of adulthood and their role in mediating a lot of our behavior in adulthood.
And the work that you're doing right now, which we're going to talk about this morning, looks at that linkage between estrogens and how our brain functions, or maybe more specifically, whether or not those hormones play a role in what we remember.
Right. Exactly. Yes. You know, until about, I'd say 20, 25 years ago, people didn't think about sex steroid hormones like estrogens or progesterone and cognitive function at all. People really, in the research community, focused solely on reproductive function because that's where those hormones are so important. But about in the early 90s, it was found that regions of the brain, like a part of the brain called the hippocampus, which lies in our temporal lobes near our ears, really, are really sensitive to levels of these hormones. And that during the course of a normal female cycle, like the menstrual cycle, a lot of things change in these parts of the brain that can have a significant impact on our ability to remember things.
So is it something that is occurring throughout our lives where the estrogen is a factor in forming memories?
Yes, it certainly does seem to be that way. So
even very young, even young children?
Well, that we don't know as much about. Certainly, we know that hormones play a large role in sexual differentiation in the brain. So there are some subtle differences in the male and female brain that are due to hormone effects both prior to birth and then in a period several years after birth that help sort of make make boys think like boys and girls think like girls. And then against that background, we call those organizational effects of hormones and organizing the brain in a male or female pattern. Then after puberty, then we see what are called activational effects of hormones, where we see the effects of, in females, hormone cycles come to play. And so we now know from research done in the last couple of decades that in an adult female life, that there are very important, it can be subtle, changes on cognitive function. And we've been trying to study that in rodent models so we can get a better sense of, of exactly what kinds of learning and memory might be affected by hormones and how, what kinds of changes are happening in the brain that allow for those changes to memory.
So what have you found so far? Any conclusions yet as you begin to look at this cause-effect between hormones and memory?
Mm-hmm. Well, some of the earliest work was done with what are called hippocampal spines, dendritic spines. So all of our neurons have information receiving portions called dendrites. And many of those dendrites have little sort of knobby outgrowths that help those neurons to make lots of connections with other neurons. And remarkably, so the rat cycle, we call it the estrous cycle, lasts only 4 days. And within the context of those 4 days, estrogen and progesterone levels are high for only one of those days. And on that day, those spines, those little knobby outgrowths, are 30%. There are 30% more of them on that one day. And then 24 hours later, that 30% increase is gone. That's a remarkable thing for a neuron to do. We still don't know, you know, exactly how it takes a lot of energy to grow these spines and then make them go away in a relatively short period of time. So that was just mind-blowing. People, that really changed the field and started this whole field of hormones and cognition, people starting to study how hormones influence cognitive function. So that really started the field, and then people have gone on to show that estrogens can promote the generation of new neurons in the hippocampus, which is, again, something that's fairly new in neuroscience. Until about 15 years ago, we didn't realize that new neurons are born in the adult brain every day. We thought that we were just born with all the neurons we were ever going to have.
Yeah, that's what I remember learning in my first biology class.
Exactly.
You know, you better use them well because
that's
you're
right.
not getting any more.
That's right. Well, there are two places in the brain where new neurons are formed, and one of them is in the hippocampus. So we now know that estradiol, which is a potent form of estrogen, can promote the growth of new neurons. And in my laboratory, we've been trying to understand what are the biochemical steps inside hippocampal neurons that are necessary for estradiol to enhance memory. So we've been doing that in young females, in middle-aged females, and in old females, and have been seeing some very interesting effects of age on the hippocampus's ability to respond to estradiol.
If I'm a listener and I'm hearing this program, and if I'm a woman listening in particular, thinking, "Yeah, you know, boy, I'm middle aged, and you know, I don't remember as much. You know,
yeah.
I have that senior moment."
Yeah.
I might be getting pretty excited about this because it suggests that there might be the beginning, at least, of a pathway to helping me remember better.
Right. Well, that's what we're hoping for. You know, some level of memory, you know, of forgetting where you left your keys and so on is typical for middle age. And men experience that as well as women. But we seem to see in women, when they go through menopause, this vulnerability of regions of the brain like the hippocampus to the detrimental effects of aging, because the hippocampal neurons come to depend on estrogens for proper functioning. They're what are called trophic factors for the hippocampus, and trophic means literally nourish. And so when we have this female brain that's used to very high levels of estrogens for at least part of the month, and then during the course of menopause, we see a gradual decrease of these hormone levels, naturally, you know, that has detrimental effects for the hippocampus that's come to depend on this important trophic factor for its functioning. So it is possible that for some women, the loss of hormones that they're experiencing during the early stages of menopause are contributing to a memory loss. And so what we're hoping to do, well, you know, as I'm sure you and many other listeners have heard, you know, hormone replacement has been somewhat controversial over recent years.
Well, yeah, a few years ago, there were a lot of women who were getting estrogen as they began to move through menopause just to sort of take the edge off, you know, try to provide more of an even balance to hormone levels as opposed to a dramatic drop.
Yes, yes.
And then what was it, about 7 or 8 years ago? Maybe a little bit more?
It was 2002.
Oh my gosh!
Well, I know.
So that sort of was like the watershed where there were some studies that came out that said, "Hold on! If women taking estrogen supplements might be at risk here."
That's right. Yeah. So the studies that you're referring to are from the Women's Health Initiative, which was the largest clinical trial. It is the largest clinical trial done to date of women taking what were at that time the most commonly prescribed hormone therapies: Premarin and Prempro, which is a version of Premarin that has some progesterone in it. And so there are about almost 17,000 women who participated in that study. And those women were examined in a number of different ways. Most of the outcomes were health-related, not necessarily cognitive function, but there were some studies that looked at their cognitive function. And The outcome was surprising in some respects to the medical community, who, you know, where women had been typically prescribed estrogen therapy when they went through menopause, and then many of them stayed on it for the rest of their lives. But these studies came out showing that there was a small but statistically significant increased risk of things like breast cancer, heart disease, and stroke. So many women freaked out. Yeah, exactly. There was a huge drop in the number of women who were taking estrogens. And
although, if I'm not mistaken, as I was doing research here for the show, that statistical spike on a whole was still pretty small. It was
only
7 or 8 more cases.
That's right.
Out of 100,000 people.
Exactly.
And also, there was some question about the age of the women who were being studied, right?
Yes, that the age is the key. So if you look at, there were several issues with that study. One was that the women were older. They were all 65 years or older. And we've now come to find from both clinical research with women and basic research in animal models that females who are older and very much what we call postmenopausal don't benefit very much from estrogens. It's really women who are going through menopause or just shortly after the onset of menopause who seem to benefit most from estrogens. So that was one issue with the study. Another one was that this Premarin that everybody was taking isn't exactly the best form of estrogens that you might want to take, at least from cognition enhancing standpoint.
So there are different types of estrogens you can take.
There are, exactly. So Premarin, which was developed, I think, in the early 50s, is a cocktail of dozens of different kinds of estrogens, some of whom women don't, because it came from pregnant mare urine. So that's where the Premarin came from. So some of those forms of estrogens that are found in pregnant mares aren't found in women. And the most active estrogen in Premarin is called estrone. It's not the most potent of the estrogens, which is estradiol. So, you know, it really wasn't the best formulation for women really to be taking in terms of cognition enhancement.
So estrogen may have gotten a bad rap, estrogen therapy.
I believe so. I mean, it changed recommendations for women taking hormone therapy. So now it's recommended that women take estrogens for the lowest dose needed to resolve symptoms. So, you know, the hot flashes and things that women take estrogens for, it's very effective for that. So if you need it, certainly take it for that purpose, but take it the lowest dose that you need to relieve the symptoms for the shortest period possible. So now it's not recommended that women take estrogens forever, just during the period where they feel like they really need them. But now also many physicians are moving towards giving women estradiol, which they can take in various forms, patch form or an oral form. So I think that the forms of estradiol therapy that are available now are better. They're more specific and more likely to reap cognitive benefits for patients.
And so with the notion that we've learned a lot more about estrogen therapy, that the panic mode we may be backing away from that, which then opens up the door for you to really aggressively explore how estrogen therapy might help save the mind.
That's right. So really what our goal is to try to – so the side effects, breast cancer and heart disease and so on, are caused by estrogen binding to estrogen receptors in those organs, in the breasts and in the uterus in the case of uterine cancer. And so our thinking is if we can try to understand what happens in the cell – downstream from those receptors. So estrogen binds to a receptor that sits on the membrane of the cell, and then it causes a whole cascade of events to happen inside the cell. And most of those events eventually lead to the transcription of new genes and the translation of new proteins. And certainly for memory, basic research has shown that new proteins are necessary for us to form long-term memories and for our neurons to form other connections, new connections with other neurons in which we think the memories are stored. So what we're trying to do is to figure out what are the steps in those chain of events inside the cell that leads from, you know, we see this behavioral phenomenon. We treat our animals with estradiol and we see better memory. So what causes that, right? We really know surprisingly little about that. And so we're hoping that if we can try to identify the important proteins or the important molecular events that happen inside neurons, that perhaps those proteins or events can become targets for new drugs.
So you could replicate it.
That's right.
With a therapy that you actually design.
Exactly. So if you can mimic the beneficial effects of estradiol on memory using a drug that doesn't target the estrogen receptors themselves, then maybe you can get the beneficial effects of estrogens on memory without the side effects. And perhaps, because hopefully these drugs would not be hormones, this might help men too, right? So we don't want to leave men out of the equation. You know, everybody, both men and women, experience some memory loss. Many people experience some memory loss as they get older. And so, you know, if we can identify something that estrogen does that maybe generalizes to both men and women, that, you know, we may be able to develop a drug that could help many people.
I want to follow up on that, but first let me remind listeners, you're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. So good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack. Joining us in the studio is Karen Frick, who's a professor in the UWM Department of Psychology in the College of Letters and Science. And we're talking today about Karen's work, looking at the impact that estrogens, the hormones, may have on memory. In particular, Karen, we've been focusing up until now in the program on women and memory loss and how estrogens may play a role positively in terms of improving cognitive function. But just before I gave that ID, you mentioned men, and I wanted to bring us guys into this equation because, again, thinking back to my early biology classes, my vivid memory was guys have testosterone, women have estrogen. So some of us are from Mars and others are from Venus, right? You know, like this divide. But yeah. In fact, it's not that simple, is it?
It is not that simple.
Black or white.
No. It's in fact, you know, there aren't hormones that are male hormones and hormones that are female hormones. If you look at the synthesis of sex steroid hormones, it starts ultimately with cholesterol, but then eventually working to progesterone. And then testosterone is synthesized from progesterone, and then estradiol is synthesized from testosterone.
So it's all part of a chain.
Absolutely. It's all part of a chain. So men and women all have progesterone, testosterone, and estrogens. It's just that we differ in the amounts that we have them. So women have more of the enzyme called aromatase that converts testosterone to estradiol. And so that's why women have more estradiol.
And guys don't have as much of that.
That's right.
So as you think about the research you're doing right now, looking at estrogens and memory loss or gaining, preserving memory, how could that help guys? I mean, is there a way that you might be able to extrapolate what you're learning about the impact of estrogens on women and see some benefit to the male sex?
Yeah, we certainly hope so. Again, by trying to sidestep the receptors themselves and try to understand what are the molecules inside cells that estradiol needs to enhance memory, we hope that the resulting drugs that might result from that kind of work would be able to be used in men as well. Testosterone replacement itself has been a little tricky in men. So you know, everybody's familiar with menopause, and women have this massive loss of estrogens and progesterone. And there's some loss of testosterone in men. So men don't go through an andropause, if you will. You know, you see, you know, hear reports on TV of, you know, male celebrities having children well into their, you know, 70s and 80s. So men don't universally go through a change like women do, where we will not, you know, be able to have children after a certain point. But there is in many men a gradual decline in testosterone. It's not enough, though, to really recommend testosterone replacement in any meaningful way to men. And part of the problem with testosterone replacement as well is that there are feminizing effects of testosterone replacement. So men who go on testosterone replacement can have what's called gynecomastia, which is an enlargement of the breasts, and, you know, other things that they wouldn't want to have, the feminizing kinds of side effects. So
that's interesting, because you can't watch a football game or actually turn on ESPN channel without seeing ads for the testosterone replacement therapies that are out there.
Yeah. So, you know, those have
it's
to be taken.
It's the drug du jour now,
right,
it seems.
Right. It's very interesting. I think I received an email last night. I'm not sure why I received this, but about a lawsuit that was ongoing, men who had taken Propecia for for baldness had Propecia, one of the active ingredients, is a testosterone, a form of testosterone. And so some of the side effects were things like breast enlargement and other side effects that in some men didn't go away after they stopped the treatment. So, you know, so men may be taking this drug for, you know, hoping to restore hair growth and not realizing that there's an active hormone here that may have detrimental effects elsewhere in the body. So it's hormones are very, very tricky to play with because they have such widespread effects throughout the body. And so, you know, even women on hormone replacement therapy need to consult with their physician very closely and make sure that their condition is monitored so as to not, you know, increase their risks of side effects.
But estrogen is necessary for men to form memories too?
It does seem to be. It does seem to be.
It's just that it's more pronounced in women because you could study it easier because the amount of estrogen is so much greater in a female than in a male.
That's true. Yes, there is in the brain there's much more much higher levels of estrogens than there are in the male brain. But you know, in the laboratory, if we treat a male rat with estradiol, we'll improve his memory as well.
Amazing. Tell me how you can actually see this happening. I mean, are you looking at things under an electron microscope, or presuming that there is some cause effect here? I'm curious how you get inside the brain to figure this
right,
out.
Right. Well, in our case, so in my laboratory, we study mice. We study female mice. And the way that there are multiple ways in which you can give a hormone like estrogen. The way that we have been administering it is directly into the hippocampus. So we chronically implant little tubes. It's a hippocampus on either side of our brain. So we implant two little tubes into the hippocampus, and that allows us to deliver the estradiol directly into the brain. And we do that. We allow the animals to recover. And then we've been testing there. Again, there are a lot of different ways you can test memory as well. The way that we've been doing it recently is very, very simple. We place the animals into a big white box. It's about 2 feet by 2 feet. And we allow them to explore two objects. They're identical objects. And we keep them in the box until they spend 30 seconds exploring those objects. So it's not stressful at all for the animals. It just all depends on how interested they are in the objects. And mice are naturally inquisitive. And they normally live in a little box with nothing to do. So it's pretty exciting to get a chance to come out and explore a couple of objects. And then after they've done that, we'll treat them with estrogen, put them back in their home cage, and let them think about what happened that day. Because what we're trying to target is memory consolidation. It's when the memories are being formed. We want to see how does estrogen affect the formation of the memory. Once the animals have learned about the objects, now form that memory. Then a couple of days later, we bring them back into the box. And now we let them explore an object that's identical to one they saw during training and a new object. And again, because mice are just inherently inquisitive and they're drawn to novelty, if they spend more time exploring that new object, that tells us that they remember the old object because it says, I've seen that before. That's right. I've seen that before. It's boring. Let me explore this new thing. And so that is a very, very simple way of letting us know how well they're remembering things.
And do you have control groups so you can determine whether or not, you know, what you see is exactly what you're presuming is happening?
Exactly. Yes. So we have animals who are treated with what we call a vehicle substance. It's a placebo. It's just saline. And they don't show that kind of memory enhancement. So we can then presume that it was our estrogen treatment that caused the memory enhancement. And then a couple of weeks later, we'll infuse the animals with the estradiol again and remove their hippocampus and do biochemical assays on them to measure the kinds of proteins that we think are involved in that memory enhancement.
So this is real early stage. You're still working on animals.
You've
not moved the test to humans yet? Not that aggressive a form.
No. I mean, really, you know, to do the kind of biochemical work to try to understand, you know, important proteins and other enzymes, you know, receptors and enzymes and genes that are necessary. We've got to obviously do all that work in an animal model. And then once we have some, you know, interesting targets that look like they might be, you know, that drug designers might be able to design drugs to, then we can test out the effects of those drugs in the animal models again for safety and effectiveness. And then if it looks like they're both safe and effective, then we can move into clinical trials with patients.
And obviously you're not going to be pulling out someone, a person's hippocampus. So you need to use the animals to,
that's right,
to do that very basic research.
That's right. Exactly. And in, you know, in humans, we can look at the functioning of certain parts of the brain with functional neuroimaging. So there are ways for us to look into the human brain. It's just that they don't allow us anywhere near the kind of resolution in terms of telling us exactly what's happening. We can know that a region of the brain is active, but we don't know why it's active.
What's happening with the proteins
and
the enzymes.
Yes, exactly. So we need to do that work in the animal models so that we can find these potential drug targets for drug development.
You know, you're a professor of psychology, but it sounds like you could almost be a professor of chemistry.
That's true. And a lot of people who do the kind of work that I do are found in all sorts of departments at universities. They could be in departments of neurobiology, in psychiatry, in neuroscience. So, you know, I happen to be, you know, the psychology department at UWM has a very large group of neuroscientists who are doing work similar to mine in both animal models and in humans. And that kind of work is being done in psychology departments, you know, throughout the country and the world, in addition to, you know, other neuroscience and neurobiology departments at medical schools. So there's a lot of cross-disciplinary talk.
How long before we see a real breakthrough here, before we know for sure whether or not we can create those drugs that might provide therapy to humans?
Right. That's a good question. It's always dicey to ask a basic researcher something like that. I mean, I'd say maybe, I don't know, 10 to 15 years. You know, it's difficult to know. I mean, we've made a ton of progress, I think, in the last, I'd say, 5 or 6 years that my laboratory has been trying to, you know, we've found a number of important proteins in the brain that we know are necessary for estradiol to enhance memory. But they're the obvious ones. Yeah. And so, you know, we're now having a lot of fun trying to identify some of the less obvious ones that might actually be, you know, more specific for the kind of memories that
and
that we're
such
looking
exciting
at.
Work. Thinking that we might not only be able to help us all with those senior moments by perhaps taking some therapy, but dementia, Alzheimer's.
Absolutely.
You know, could be have a huge impact on those terrible, terrible
well,
diseases.
Well, that's it. I mean, women are 3 times more likely to develop Alzheimer's disease than men. And so, you know, this really could be a very important thing for women and, you know, and their families in trying to prevent or delay the onset of dementia, whether it be Alzheimer's or some of the other dementias. You know, if you prevent something long enough, then it's not going to occur in a patient. This ultimately could help, you know, millions of women, I hope.
Well, we wish you continued success in your research at UWM and your colleagues around the world. And thank you for sharing a fascinating, fascinating conversation.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Karen Frick, professor at the Department of Psychology at UWM, our guest on this edition of UWM Today. That's all for this week's program. We'll see you next week at the same time. Take care, everybody. I'm Tom Lujack.
You have been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.